Now let's open our minds and hearts to receive a fresh and relevant message from the Word of God shared by our very own Pastor Eddie.
Your very own. Good morning. How we doing? Hold up your Bibles if you have them, and let's make our proclamation. Say it loud, say it proud. Come on, let me hear you. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. We've all heard the term famous last words, right? And the reason we remember those famous last words is because usually what happens right after the famous last words is something so kind of unforgettable, right? So I've been going week to week kind of talking about some of the famous last words of Jesus, but also finding people in history who had some kind of funny famous last words just before they died. And so I have a few more today. Who remembers the lead singer Kurt Cobain from Nirvana? It's all you rockers in the house, yeah. Kurt Cobain, in his suicide note, said, "It is better to burn out than to fade away." Like I said. Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, on his deathbed, said the words, "Oh, wow." Now, I've read that and often wondered, what did Steve Jobs experience just, Job's the guy in the Bible, right? I just messed that up. You get it. What was he seeing or experiencing just before he died? You know, you got to wonder, right? Humphrey Bogart, the famous actor, said, "Goodbye, kid. Hurry back." Todd Beamer, who remembers Todd Beamer? Anybody? Let's roll. Todd Beamer, the famous guy, was on Flight 93 on September the 11th, and he and some other passengers overpowered the hijackers to take Flight 93 down into a field instead of into a building, killing even more people. So Todd Beamer, the hero, let's roll. Sir Winston Churchill, former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, said, "I'm bored with it all." So he decided to die instead. Salvador Dali, the famous impressionist artist, said this, "I do not believe in my death." He was wrong. The Bible is full of famous last words, right? Throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, but especially the words of Jesus, we take special note at the words of Jesus. Of course, the week of his crucifixion, as Carla said a little while ago, today would be the day that Jesus rode that famous borrowed donkey into the city of Jerusalem for the last time. And as he rode into the city, it says they took, in John 12, 13, it says they took palm branches and went out to meet him shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The word Hosanna just means, "Oh, save." It was an exclamation of adoration. It was a recognition that they understood this was the Messiah. This was God in the flesh. And they were realizing that at that moment. And they knew nothing else but, "Hey, save me! Save me!" When we cry out to Jesus, "Save me," guess what happens? Yes, we're saved. Amen. But y'all should have shouted that. Come on. It's been said that that day Jesus wept over the city as he looked out over Jerusalem. And theologians for thousands of years have debated why it is Jesus wept over the city. They say, well, maybe he was weeping because he knew what was going to happen in 70 AD when the city would be burned and the temple destroyed. I believe that Jesus was crying over the city that day because he knew the week that was in front of him, the week that he would ultimately hang on a cross like this one and die for the sins of the whole world. He knew the agony, and he knew the pain that he was about to suffer, but he also knew the people that he was going to suffer for, and it was all worth it. And I don't believe those tears were tears of pain or tears of fear. Those were tears of joy because of you and because of the people that he would ultimately die for. So far in this series, Famous Last Words, I've covered the words of Jesus. Is there any other way? Jesus in the garden just before he's arrested. And he's saying, "God, is there some other way? Can you take this cup from me?" And in our words, we say, "Is there another way?" And we know the answer was, the question was a rhetorical question. He knew the answer because his next words were, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Many times we know the answer, but we just hoping maybe God will change his mind this time. Maybe today is the day, God, you know, I really don't want to walk this path. This is going to be painful. This is not going to be very much fun. I know I'm going to be hurt along the way. Maybe today we could change a heart. No. Last week, I talked about the famous last words. As Jesus hung on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Powerful words, talking to the thief that was hanging next to him. The thief simply said to Jesus that day, hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How many of you said that? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. If you said those words to Jesus in some form or fashion, then the next words will apply to you in so many ways. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, what a great promise. That regardless of what happens from this point forward, I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus one day. Amen? In the famous last words that I'm going to read to you today and we're going to study today, I believe are the most powerful words that, some of the most powerful words that Jesus ever spoke. The words I'm about to read are the why behind God telling me that 2021 for New Beginnings Church would be the year of each one, reach one. How many of you have shared your faith this year? Just since January, you shared your faith or you've invited someone to church. Anybody? Man, lots of y'all have done that. And I want you to know when you do that, you are doing what Jesus did on the earth. When he was in the home of a man named Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he spoke these words in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You want to know why Jesus was on the earth? To seek and save the lost. That was it in a nutshell. The entire purpose of Jesus coming to the earth was to seek and save the lost. The statement was and is the reason he was here. And he was, as he was preparing to go back to his throne in heaven, he left his disciples and he leaves us the mandate known as the Great Commission. Now, we've heard it. We've talked about it. It's been a topic of conversation in many of my sermons this year already. And I want you to know that I don't believe that there are more weighty words, more powerful and meaningful words that Jesus spoke than these, especially in the time and the culture in which we are now living. Matthew 28, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, you know the Great Commission. You could probably say it like I can. Jesus came to his disciples. This is after the resurrection. He's coming to meet with them. He's giving them these final instructions just before he goes back to heaven. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Now, if you have your Bible, turn over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Same Jesus, same words, different perspective. Mark writes and says these words. He said to them as he meets with them, same encounter. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The good news, right, to all creation. These words have been come to be known as the Great Commission. Jesus started it, and he's left us the job of finishing the work until he comes again at his second coming. And if you beg to differ that somehow the Great Commission is not the reason Jesus came, then what I'm about to read to you is his absolute last words on the earth will confirm even more that the Great Commission was the most powerful and instrumental words he ever spoke. Acts chapter 1. Turn to Acts chapter 1 and go down to verse 8. So what did he tell his disciples to do in Acts chapter 1? Hey, go up into the upper room and wait there. You wait right there until God gives you the promise. This is what he said in verse 8. And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There they are. The famous and final last words of Jesus before leaving the earth and heading back to heaven to sit on his throne. He uses the word witnesses. It's the Greek word martus, and it's where we get the word martyr from. So you know what the word martyr means. Martyr means that you're actually dying for a religious belief, willing to die for a religious belief. I'm a martyr. I'm willing to die for what I believe. Now, we hope that it never comes to that, right? God, I'll be glad to share my faith, but do I have to die in the process? In the United States, probably not. In other parts of the world, there's a good shot. This is what he said. What does it mean to us? What is that word? And what does that word in Acts chapter 1:8 mean to us today? This is what he said. I'm going to empower you with my spirit so that you can go and witness. Be my mouthpiece on the earth to the point of death if necessary, starting right here in Jerusalem and then going into Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What does it mean for us? We're going to start right here in Covington. And we're going to go into the next towns and the next towns and eventually the state and the region and the world. Now turn, if you're there, still in Acts, go down to verse 9 because we can't stop there. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. I want everybody to look up at the ceiling. They don't look down until I tell you. Everybody look at the ceiling. Pretend Jesus just left you. He's headed up. They were looking intently, keep looking. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, people of Covington, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. So what does all this mean to us today? Why did Jesus wait until the day he was about to depart before speaking the words of the Great Commission and the instructions of Acts 1:8, the how and where we're to do this thing that he called us to, this going? And I believe the reason is because all the words of Jesus that he spoke while on the earth, none carry more power and meaning and purpose than these for the follower of Jesus today. And as I've read these encounters and I've prayed over them and asked God the same questions, that is what I take away. And I believe you and I need to get down in our spirits this mandate. This calling to go and the urgency of the call to go and to go now. Now, I would bet that throughout history, there have been people that thought, we better get busy sharing Jesus now because this world is going to hell in a handbag. But we didn't live in that era. We live in this era. And in this era, and what's happening in our world right now, I'm going to say that now is the most crucial time. The mandate to go and make disciples, or as we say at New Beginnings, to reach and teach, because that's what God told us 12 years ago. From the scriptures that I read to you today, what is Jesus telling us for this time in our history and for our culture? Three important lessons that I want to share with you today from the words, go into all the world and preach the good news. Now, early in the week, last week, I was sitting in my office at home, and the Lord gave me three lessons from this, and I wrote them down on a pad of paper. And I rarely write things on paper because I usually have my phone close by and I type notes. I didn't have my phone, but I had a pen and I had paper, so I wrote them down. And I had a sticky note sitting there, and all week long I'm praying over those notes because they're kind of negative. And I'm like, Lord, you sure you want me to share that way? Because I'm tend to be more positive. I want to come at things from a more positive way than from a negative way. He's like, no, that's what I want you to say, and that's how you're going to say it. I'm like, all right, Jesus, let's go. So get ready. Go into all the world and preach the good news. The first lesson that we learn is we need to quit looking around and just go. Acts 1:11, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The angels that came and stood next to the disciples that day were asking a rhetorical question. There was no answer necessary. He just want to know, why are you still standing here? You've seen him go. He ain't coming back anytime soon. He ain't coming back today. He ain't going to make it back for dinner. He's not coming back tomorrow morning. Why are you still standing? Did you see him go? I saw him go. You sure he's going? He's not just tucked behind that cloud over there? We have the mandate. They had the mandate. He gave them the mandate first. Then he poured out his spirit on them. Then he said, I'm getting ready, I'm going to pour my spirit on you to empower you to go do it. But don't stand here looking around. You got what you need. Now go. So often, Christians today, allow idleness to occupy our important time instead of being about the business of Jesus with urgency. We stand around with idleness, and we allow idleness to occupy valuable time. What's today's date? March the 28th, 2021. You know what it will never be again? Once this clock turns midnight, 12:01 tonight at midnight, it's no longer March the 28th, 2021. It's now March the 29th. It'll never be March the 28th, 2021 again. And so what happens, we lay our head down on the pillow at the end of the day, and we have to ask ourselves, did I waste this day in idleness, or did I do something impactful for the kingdom of God? See, Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5:15, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 19 says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We must make the most of every opportunity set before us. So what happens is we stand around and we think, I don't feel like it. Not up to it. I'd rather play games on my phone than tell that guy about Jesus. Christians, we got to quit wasting time. I've been saying since the beginning of this year, really long before that, that there's an urgency. Listen, we have the good news. People need to hear the good news. And we have a great responsibility to deliver it to them. Why are we standing here looking into the sky? Hey, there's a world. The angels are saying, hey, listen, guys, there's a world around you that without this Jesus who you've been looking for, they're going to die and go to hell. Are you okay with that? The answer should be no, I'm never okay with that. Then why are you still standing here? Go and go tell somebody about what you've witnessed. Go is an action word. It's a verb. Go doesn't mean to stand there. Go means go. Leave where you are and go somewhere else, and in the process, tell somebody about Jesus on the way. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an urgency of the Great Commission. I believe we're ramping up, and we as the Christian people today must heed the call to go and quit allowing idleness to occupy our time. Number two lesson we learn from Jesus' famous last words is this: quit expecting that someone else will do what God has called you to do. Matthew 28:18, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. The call to go is for all of us. Say all of us.
All of us.
Say it louder.
All of us.
The call to go is not a selective call. It's not for a selective group of people. It's for all of us. And the problem is a lot of times people sitting out there think that people standing up here, that's their job. That's why sometimes I'll say to you, hey, point to the minister in the room. Point to the minister in the room. Right? You and me. We're all of us. The modern church movement has become comfortable and dysfunctional in our action and in our purpose. Listen, we consider that going to church is an activity that was designed for our fulfillment instead of for the fulfillment of others. Consumer mentality. We come to church, not you guys, because you're different than everybody else. But most people come, they come to other churches like this. What do you have for me? What? And I've had people say, you know, Pastor, I got to be honest. That song we sang, I don't really like that. I got a secret. It wasn't for you. I know, shocking, right? It's that song was for Jesus, and we were actually singing to him because I didn't see you hanging on the cross. So, right, the next time you go, I really didn't like that song today. Just remember me. Wasn't for you. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Paul writing to the church, this is what he said. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Then he goes on to say, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. To encourage, then give encouragement. If it's to give, give generously. And if it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Listen, when we decide to consider others above ourselves, we are being the church instead of just going to church. When we decide to consider others above ourselves, we are being the church, not just going to church. See, we think that because I went to church, I check off that box, and now I feel good about myself spiritually. I went to church. I 4 weeks in a row, baby. How many of you got? We start comparing and stuff, right? You're like, I've been there 52 weeks in a row. How about that? When we decide to be the church, we've come to the understanding that God has called each of us, anointed each of us, and filled each of us with his gifts from his spirit to be used for his glory. You hear that? At New Beginnings, there's a place for every one of you to find a place of service. Now, very encouraging. Last Saturday we did that volunteer. So last Saturday morning we did a volunteer training event. And we had 60-something people show up for the volunteer training event. And then afterward, I was very encouraged by the 60-something people that showed up. But what was more encouraging than that, and guys, I appreciate you showing up, but there were another 40-plus people who didn't show up for whatever reason that weren't here. And I thought, wow, that many people are here serving God at New Beginnings. Listen, we got plenty of room for more. Find your place. I often say, everything God does on the earth, he does with purpose and for reason. God doesn't do anything by happenstance or by accident. His purpose for gifting you and I was not so that you and I could be recognized and honored, but so that through us and his gifting, he would be recognized and honored. See, when you use his gifts for his glory, what happens is we go, hey, Mike, thanks for serving. Mike, thanks so much. Our standout of the week right there in the front row. Mike, thanks so much for serving and for giving and doing all you do. And so Mike's like, hey, thanks. It's all about Jesus, right, Mike? Because I'm doing this for him, not for me. And so what happens is when you get recognized for doing good things for Jesus, Jesus gets the glory. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day when Peter and John were going to the temple, they were going to church, at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from birth was carried into the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Then Peter said, look at us. And so the man gave them his attention because he thought he was going to get something from them. And Peter said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Peter and John, here's the point. Peter and John didn't wait for the next disciple to come and give the man what he needed. You see, Peter and John walk out. We got business in the temple. We better get to church. I'm in a hurry. I ain't got no. You're pumping gas, and the guy next to you is crying. Maybe you're there for that reason and that purpose. Maybe that person was put in front of you for a reason. Peter and John didn't wait for another disciple going to church that day to meet this guy's needs. No, God put him there, them there, at that time and in that place for that reason. And I want you to know, there are going to be people who are crippled, spiritually lame, in front of you, and you're there for the reason to give them the message. Don't wait for some other disciple to come behind you and do what God has anointed and called you to do at that moment and at that time. How many times have the crippled, the blind, and the dead been placed in front of you and you decided for whatever reason, God, you know, I'm just not really feeling it today. You know, or you get, I'm really not in the mood. As my boy Nick says, are you ever? It's an inside joke. We have to quit expecting someone else to do what God has called you to do. I told this story in first service. I need to share it again. I was in a gym one day, and there's a gentleman who was commenting on the beauty of my head. Not everybody can wear this. Right, Weldon? And when I left the gym that day, the Lord spoke to me so loud and clear. He said, the next time you see that man, I want you to tell him how much I love him. I'm like, you know, God, that's kind of weird. I mean, I'm a dude. You know, he's a dude. I mean, hey, dude, Jesus love, you know. So the next day, I get to the gym the next day about the same time. I am praying that this guy's going to the gym at a different time. I'm like, well, just maybe he won't be there, and I don't have to do it. I get to Franco's. I walk up the stairs, and I get to the top. I step off the top step onto the platform, and there he is on a treadmill. And the Lord's like, there he is. I'm like, I know. I saw him. Leave me alone. Back off. I got this. I'm thinking, all right, how am I going to do this? He's got them big headphones on and them big old things like this, and he's on a treadmill, and he's going to town. I'm like, all right. So I get on the empty treadmill next to him. It stopped, and I just stand there. Tap the guy. Hey, what's up? I say, hey, remember me? We talked, yeah, talk about my head, you know. Yeah, what's up? He takes his headphone back like this so he can hear me. I said, hey, listen, you don't know this. It's going to sound a little weird, but when I left you yesterday, and I'm in my car, I'm a pastor, and the Lord spoke to me, and he spoke to me about you. And he slowed the treadmill down to a stop, and he says, and what did he say? I said, well, he told me to tell you he loves you just like you are. Nice. Boom, his treadmill stopped. He takes the headphones off completely. He goes, man, I got to tell you a story. He goes, a little over 20 years ago, I was in Bible college, and I was in love with this woman. I thought we were going to get married. And he goes, while I'm in Bible college, she leaves me. He goes, I was devastated. He goes, I quit Bible college, walked away from God, and haven't walked with him since. He goes, you have no idea. I needed to hear that. The guy wound up going back to church and getting his relationship restored with the Lord. He moved on to Florida. And I am praying today, wherever he is, that he is walking with God, all because I was obedient to do what God placed him in front of me to do that day, at that time, for that reason. And I want you to know, every day, God will place people in your path, co-workers and neighbors and friends, and maybe even some family members that need to hear that the message of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, and you got it, they need it, so go give it to them. number three. Last but not least, we have to quit worrying that we won't get it right. Matthew 28, 20. Second sentence, it says, and surely, Jesus speaking, I am with you always. Say always.
Always.
In Acts 1, 8, he said, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. When you read those two verses, it tells me you can't get it wrong. Why? Because Jesus is with you in it, and he's empowered you for it. But not only has he empowered you for it, he's equipped you for the task. Then he came and said to them in Matthew 28, 18 and 20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The empowerment came by his Spirit. The equipping came from his authority. And then he's enabled us because he goes with us in the going. His authority is equipped, his Spirit is empowered, and his presence has enabled us to do it and to do it right. Listen, you can't get it wrong. When you open your mouth, Jesus told his disciples, you don't even need to think about what you're going to say ahead of time. I'll tell you what to say, when you need to say it, and how you need to say it. Just open your mouth. The problem, you know, most people, surveys have been done, and most people don't share their faith because they're afraid they're going to get it wrong. What if I say something wrong, really mess them up? What if I mess them up? What if they don't even know who Jesus is when I'm finished? Listen, if you use the name Jesus, they'll know who he is when he's finished. I can promise you this. Because I know this to be a fact because I have social media. And how many of y'all have social media of some kind? Y'all all have seen. So if you find some foolproof way, because everything is like a foolproof way, to make money, lots of money, and it's easy to make, you'll be telling everybody all over social media, you got to do this. It's a great way to make some extra cash. I am making a living. Right? I'm at the top of the pyramid. You tell everybody about a foolproof way to make some extra cash. But we got something better than making extra cash. We have the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the whole world, who died on a cross to forgive the whole world of their sins. And we scared. I'm scared to tell people. I might get it wrong. You can't get it wrong. It's not you doing it. It's him doing it through you. Would you stand with me? Today is the day, and now is the time for us to quit looking around and just go, to quit expecting that someone else will do what God has called us to do, and to quit worrying that you won't get it right. Listen, if you receive the call today to go and to share the good news with the people that God places in your path, I want you to join me here at the altar. If that's you, say, I'm ready to receive the call. I'm ready to go and tell somebody about Jesus. Come on. Now, as you're coming, I want you to listen to this. Don't answer me. Just keep this to yourself. Just listen to the question. Who have you been thinking about since the beginning of 2021 when we kicked this whole campaign off about each one, reach one? And you have that person in your mind. How many of you have somebody in your mind? You just say, I just want to reach them for Christ this year. Yeah, a lot of us have somebody we've just been thinking about. Now's the time. Today's the day. And I'm going to pray that this week is the week that God puts them in your path or provides you with an opportunity to share him with them. Amen? You ready? Raise your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, we stand here ready to receive from you your Spirit, empowering, enabling us, and God equipping us to go and share the good news. And now, God, we pray for opportunity before us today with all those people that we're thinking about. And you see all the names and faces right now, God. We just pray you give us opportunity to share you with those around us. And God, let us be successful to get them to hear the message of Jesus Christ. We pray right now in the powerful name of Jesus, and we ask you to go with us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. See you next week. God bless.